Welcome back to another episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Miller, joined as always by my co-host, Corey Kinnon. And we have built a Frankenstein running back already. We are going to build a Frankenstein wide receiver out of the 2025 NFL draft class today. Got an idea earlier from a friend on Discord about doing this as a draft, as like a snake draft, and not being allowed to choose the same player. And I think not for this time
That's
around,
a good idea.
But that might be a good one. That way we're talking about different players consistently, and we can still bring up the guys that obviously deserve to be there. So I did try to go a little bit outside of the box here and do some different names, but some of them, it's just too easy to pick some of these names that I didn't want to change it up. But we are going to go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 categories, ranging from catch radius to the ability to just command the football, command targets. Mm-hmm. So let's start off with catch radius. And I'm gonna let you go first, but first we have to ask, is there anything that you need to get off your chest first other than the tattoo that you were unable to get today?
Yeah, Dalton and I were supposed to do a doubleheader last night because I was supposed to.
I'm going to be real with you. There is absolutely zero chance I would have made it through a second.
No, you would not have. Yeah, you would not.
Immediately after that, it was over for me.
Yeah, but my tattoo artist, like Dalton this morning, was sick and had to cancel my session. So scheduled 2 weeks out. It is what it is, but I'm here. Yeah, I'm good. I'm ready to roll. So, yeah.
Let's get into catch radius.
Catch radius. So the 31-inch arms for Tet really threw me off.
Wrong. It's just already wrong. It doesn't matter. You brought up earlier, before we started this podcast, the contested catch rate with him.
That's why I'm going to go there for a different category.
Yeah, but I think that you're wrong there, too, and we're going to discuss that as well. But from a catch radius perspective, I mean, we've talked about it for the entire cycle, his ability to just go and pluck the ball out of the air. And yeah, the 31-inch arms are weird, but he's also, at the end of the day, 6'5", and he has the wingspan because he is able to maximize that anatomic length that he has to go and pluck it. And so for me, I don't care that Jaden Higgins has longer arms. I don't care at all. It's a lot like Micah Parsons having 31-inch arms. It doesn't affect his ability as a pass rusher. It affects a lot of other people's abilities as pass rushers, but not his. And just like that, Tet, it does not affect his ability to go out, reach out, and catch the football. If you guys haven't guessed, that's who I picked for catch radius. But we will let Corey explain.
Well, yeah, you said the name of mine, too. So I went with Jaden Higgins from Iowa State, who has 2-inch longer arms. But I think Jaden Higgins also has that same ability to pluck the football. I don't think he's a very good separator. But I do think he has the ability to go up and pluck the football, has the very long catch radius. If we were going like catch radius to like size proportion, I might have gone with Matthew Golden for this, to be honest, because that dude's got a freaking wide ass catch
radius. Well, yeah, he just goes up and gets it, and he has incredible awareness. Like his sideline awareness is fantastic too.
But I'm going with Jaden Higgins for all the reasons that Dalton said I shouldn't go with Jaden Higgins. So
yeah, and I want to bring up, because we're not going to talk about Jaden Higgins anymore. You brought up the inability to separate. I have a different viewpoint of this entirely. I think he's incredibly fluid. I don't think he's super explosive, but his fluidity is something that everybody seems to talk about. But I don't think that we expound enough on overall fluidity, because I think when you are looking at him on the pendulum of from 0 to 90 degrees, he's really loose with the hips. He is really efficient with his feet. The minute you ask him to come back to the football, he's a lost puppy. And the inefficiencies show up. So in that respect, I agree. But he is one of those really interesting cases where I think if you improve his footwork a little bit, I think that naturally he has the ability to separate throughout the entire route tree. Right now, I think that that route tree and that separation ability is pretty confined to 0 to 90 degrees.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. Again, I've been doing some work over at reception perception. Obviously, Matt Harmon does a good job of charting all of the wide receivers. And Jaden Higgins' chart is a lot of red, lots of red. But that's where I'm going to go for catch radius, though, because, again, he's 6'4", has 33-inch arms, can pluck the football, and does make plays, even if he has dudes draped on him. So I'm gonna go with that. Let's move on to yak ability, Dalton. We have different names here as well.
Yeah, it would have been really easy to go with Luther Burden here, and probably the correct answer. I'm just saying, like, in general, like, that's probably the correct answer. But the production this year just wasn't there. That offense was we talked ad nauseum about this. But 5'11", what, like 205, 210 is kind of what he plays at. He's really rocked up. He's got great contact balance. The explosiveness is there. The only person who is really able to get him down very quickly and very easily is Nick Emanwori. And that's because he's 230 or 220. With very, very long arms and unbelievable athletic ability. But I went a little different route. I went with Antoine Juice Wells, who the injuries have kind of zapped him at South Carolina for sure. But I think we saw late in the year a little bit of the old Juice Wells this year. And I think that when you look at his numbers overall, he is somebody who averaged 8.3 yards after the catch, and he actually averaged 19.6 yards per catch this year. Now, he didn't have a ton of production overall, but we saw some of that athletic ability that, you know, typical South Carolina running back in a wide receiver's body towards the end of the year. He's somebody who I was once very high on coming out of South Carolina. And so I'm really interested to see how that's able to translate at the NFL level.
Yeah, I'm going to take the easy answer. I'm going to take Luther Burden here. This is what my answer when we did it in the fall as well. I know what the analytics say. I know what his yak per reception was. I know all of that. I also know how hard it was for Missouri to find a way to get the football in his hands somehow. Like that continues to break my brain that, like, you're playing him in the slots, you play him closer to the quarterback, and you still couldn't find a way to get him the football. But I know he's rocked up in his lower half. He's thick down there. He can run through tackles. He can break tackles. He's just a tough dude to bring down in the open field. Not only that, but like his ability to put his foot in the ground and change directions, even like, I know he's a little tight as a route runner, not really refined as a route runner, but his ability to be fluid and make guys miss after the catch is impressive. Despite that, again, lightning in the bottle when you get the ball in his hand. And so yak ability, there was nobody better last year, and I still think there's nobody better in the class, despite what his 2024 production says. So we're going to go yak ability.
Yeah, vertical explosiveness. Like, we would have loved to go with a different guy here.
Yeah.
But the college offenses just don't really produce a lot of vertical explosiveness. They are very spread out, and a lot of the offense is within, you know, 10 to 20 yards of the line of scrimmage. And so you don't get like your normal downfield, just pure speedsters. But Jalen Noel's game is exactly that, or could be exactly that. And I brought it up pre-show. There's a little bit of Brandon Cook and like a little bit linear, skinnier wide receivers who also have a little bit of a three, you know, level threat to them. It's an easy comp to make, but Jalen Noel is somebody who can take the top off of a defense, but he can also put his foot in the dirt or in the turf and make guys miss and make and create separation as a route runner as well. So I do think that he's somebody who not only is his speed dangerous on the vertical plane, but his ability to snap routes off makes him a more well-rounded and dangerous receiver overall.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I do think he could sell his, he's got a pretty big tell with his head. He'll drop his head every time he's snapping out of a route. So like, you should probably work on your eyes there, selling your eyes a little bit better. But in terms of vertical explosiveness, I went Jalen Noel here too. And again, there's no false step off the line of scrimmage. It takes him no time at all to get from 0 to 100. I mean, it's literally like he has a jetpack on that. He pushes a button when the ball is snapped and just takes off. No buildup, no acceleration, no false step. It's immediate off the line of scrimmage. And I think he's going to be an absolute threat down the seam, an absolute threat on bubbles after the catch on some manufactured touches. And again, you mentioned like he's got the route running savviness to win from Z looks, from slot looks. So there's some versatility there. But specifically speaking about his vertical explosiveness here, yeah. For me, this was an easy choice to go with Jalen Knoll here.
Yeah. Different names here for fluidity / quickness. I went with the best player in the class, Travis Hunter. He was going to show up here somewhere. Yeah. Very much like Ash and JNT. I mean, if we would have had like a ball skills or a ball winning, and I guess like you could kind of make that catch radius, because I mean, his catch radius is unbelievable too. He just happens to be what, a 5'11", 6 foot-ish. Mm-hmm. So for me, there's just more with Tet. There's more with Jaden Higgins when it comes to that. But the ability to go up and win the football is something Travis Hunter's outstanding at. But what I saw this year from him was that natural quickness, that natural fluidity. I mean, and we see it all the time when he's breaking on the ball defensively, but he really parlayed that into becoming a pretty well-rounded route runner this year at Colorado. And his usage overall in Colorado is very boring. They kind of line him up, from what I remember, at least on the left side of the offense, or closer to that. I can't remember if it's the left side of the offense or if it is closer to their sideline. I can't remember.
It's usually exactly. Like to the bound to the field.
Yeah.
It was rarely ever boundary side. Yeah. He'd always be like the far man to the boundary.
Yeah, he's always outside. Like,
yeah.
Always outside. Yeah. And that limited his route tree a little bit. I think at the NFL level, if you're going to use him as a wide receiver, you're going to use his athletic ability to its greatest ability. And you're going to have a CeeDee Lamb type slot wide receiver, which is a legitimate number one, somebody who you are going to give 150 targets to if you let him play wide receiver full time.
Oh, yeah. I've really warmed up to him being a primary wide receiver that you play in high leverage defensive situations. I know we were very opposite of that, and you still might prefer him at corner predominantly and then wide receiver in high leverage situations. But I just think you get this guy in he was never really in wide receiver or offensive meetings because he was in defensive meetings at Colorado. Like, you get that guy refining himself as a wide receiver, and he's already fluid, already has a ton of release packages off the line of scrimmage, all really like really strong hands, goes up and gets it, plucky.
Yeah, nobody's like, ball skills are better.
No. Like, I saw again Matt Harmon at Reception Perception gave him the Odell Beckham Jr. comp, and I'm like, oh,
that's fair. That's so fair.
I'm like, oh, yeah. So I've really warmed up to Travis Hunter being a player that you just want to get the ball to as many times as possible. And the way you do that is you play him wide receiver most of the time. And again, that's where he's going to make the most money at the NFL level. So it makes sense that he wants to do that as well. Travis Hunter is coming off the list a little bit later for me here. For fluidity and quickness, I went with Ohio State's Amike Egbuka. Again, Egbuka did run a sub 4.5 40, but we kind of said like 4.8 or 4.48 to 4.51, and that's exactly
Xavier Restrepo here. Come on,
no, that's exactly where he landed at his pro day as well with a 4.48. It was funny. I was at Ohio State's pro day, and I was sitting in the media section. He came over to talk to somebody. It might have been his agent who was over there too. And he goes, "Yeah, I'm kind of actually pissed about it. I thought I was going to do better." And he hit like 38 inches on the vertical and things like that. And he was mad that he hit 38 inches in sub 4.5 40. And I was like, "Dude, kind of figure that's what you would like. I think that those are great numbers for you."
Yeah.
But where I do think that Egbuka wins a lot is that ability to win with quickness, to run fluid, sharp routes, to get in and out of his breaks, and even put his foot in the ground and change directions fluidly with the football in his hands. Again, we saw Ohio State give him design touches this year as well, especially that Oregon game in the regular season. He had a few in that game. So, and I think that's why he's so good. That's why he can hunt out green grass so well, is because he has the ability to snap his head around it and then work his way back to the quarterback as well. It's not a comp for him, but like, I love watching Devontae Smith work in zone coverage because he's so good at just moving with his guy, moving with Jalen Hurts, whipping his head around, whipping his hips around, and continuing to find green grass on the go, on the fly. And I think that's something like Buka really has. And I think fluidity and quickness is how he wins at the college level. And it's how he's going to win at the NFL level as well. So I went with Emeka Egbuka for fluidity and quickness.
And that's why I have him at route running. And I don't have anything more to say. Like, I believe he was probably my pick for route running preseason. He has been my pick for route running over the last 3 years. He was a professional route runner 3 years ago and is still is today. There are few players in this class I am more confident in projecting a good NFL career, because the draft is a crapshoot. Mm-hmm. But he was very, very good as a sophomore. He got hurt as a junior, and he was very, very good. Maybe the best he's been as a senior, especially during the playoff run.
Yeah.
He's that dude.
Yep. For me, for route running, I went with the guy that I've preached about on this podcast for a while. In the fall, I went Xavier Restrepo, and I probably could have still gone Xavier Restrepo here if I wanted to. But I'm going to go with Matthew Golden here. And it's, again, because like he's not a 49 athlete on tape. No matter how fast he ran on the track, there's no way you can convince me that his play speed is that. But again, what I've raved about with Matthew Golden are the little subtle details of how he gets open and how he constantly wins off the line of scrimmage, how he constantly wins at the top of the routes with this little like subtle hand usage to create little pockets, how he constantly snaps out of his routes without any wasted movement. He can run a full route tree, whether it's a 45 degree break, whether it's a 90 degree break. He's coming out fluidly. He's coming out quick. So I just love the way that he can create blind spots as well. He knows how to stem effectively to manipulate hips of defensive backs and then work his way back into that blind spot that he's just created when doing so. So I talking about professional route runner here, just blown away this year, especially down the stretch after Isaiah Bond got hurt. He started playing on the right side more often at Matthew Golden's refinement and his ability to just be a professional and know how to win despite his size, despite, again, not 4.29 speed on tape. So, I'm going to go Matthew Golden here for route running.
I wonder if it's a bit like a like Patrick Surtain type deal where or like Will Johnson type deal where he's just throttled so much and he's just pacing himself to where he needs to be, because we've brought up his ability to separate late, you know, vertically in the past, and then the ability to go up and win the football and create separation on the vertical plane late and come back to the football and win, and maybe that's kind of where he hid his actual natural speed from us for so long, because he was playing so under control that entire time. I don't know.
Could be.
Trying to come up with the answers here to the 4.29.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good way to put it. He's just a very controlled football player.
Yeah. Football player. Speaking of controlled football players, we're going to play strength and size here. Mm-hmm. Couple different routes I could have went here. I actually had like three or four names as potentials here. But I ended up going with Trey Harris from Ole Miss, somebody who, that dude is just so strong. He is so good at coming back to the football. And that Mickey Mouse offense has him running stopping routes near the sticks so often. Mm-hmm. But when you are asked to do that consistently, and you are still, even though you're like a 4.55 athlete, and you're still able to sell vertically and use your frame to legitimately separate coming back to the football. I mean, first of all, his breaks are outstanding. I think they're some of the best in the class. But his size and strength, not just when he is attacking the football, but he's somebody who isn't super creative after the catch, but is very difficult to bring down as well. So for me, this was a pretty easy decision. And I'm interested in yours.
Yeah, I went Tet McMillan here. And a lot of it has to do with contested catchability, which isn't necessarily correlated to catch radius. He had a 60% contested catch rate this year, which is like extraordinarily high, especially with Noah Fifita throwing the football, who was just a wild gun back there for Arizona. And so like those footballs weren't on target to begin with. And I don't think that Ted is a great separator. Like, I don't think he has the ability to win to gain steps on defensive backs the way that some other receivers in this class do, despite some of the other things that people say. Like, that there are some people who have no concerns about that, and I'm like, I do. But his ability to still command the football and pluck the football and at that high of a rate, despite having guys, I would characterize it as underneath of him, because they're not necessarily draped over him, but they're pretty much underneath him, but he's playing through contact to make those catches. And so I do think he could be a little stronger off the line of scrimmage. when he is faced with some press man, especially for being 6 foot five. But for me, it comes down to that ability to win through contact at the catch point and why. And he, again, this is play strength and size, and he is at the end of the day 6 foot five. So I'm going to go with Tet McMillan for that one.
Yeah, if you lean towards the size portion of this, I think that you have a fine answer. Other than that, I feel like we've kind of talked about all year how people wanted to compare him to Mike Evans, and we were adamant the entire year, the dude doesn't play that strong. Mm-hmm. The dude doesn't play that strong.
Yeah. And I feel like I could have gone, if I would have gone more towards like Trey Harris is a good one because of his ability to stack anybody and bully anybody at the top of his routes. And I think Jalen Royals is probably another one I could have gone with because I see that same like level of physicality. Like nobody in this class has AJ Brown levels of physical at the top of their
routes.
Like there's nobody like that. And there probably isn't anybody else like
wish,
that in the NFL.
I wish, Alec, I wish Tyler Manor was like that, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he was like that.
He's such a weird build, but he's rocked up this decent size, like 6'1", 215, right? Something like that. 6'1", 218, something like that. Yeah. But like he plays such a finesse style of game. He's not very strong over the middle when he's forced to work through traffic. And like, but then he is kind of like fluid and sudden at the top of his route. So it's like, what do you do with this guy? Which is why he's on neither of our lists. But
yeah,
last category here, target magnet. And for me, this is where Travis Hunter's coming off.
Fair.
Like, the dude played two ways at Colorado and still had 120 freaking targets in a wide receiver room with two other draftable wide receivers. So, like, for me, like, there's no way else to go about this. Like, if the Cleveland Browns draft Travis Hunter at two, it might piss Jerry Jeudy off a little bit, but, like, that's the guy who's getting the – that you are tagging – targets for in your game plan on a week-to-week basis. Like that's kind of why I struggle with him in New York a little bit, like if the Browns go Abdul Carter and him in New York, because like I feel like that dynamic might not work with him and Malik Nabers, because Malik Nabers is also one of those guys that like needs like targets tagged for him in game plans to feel kind of complete and happy, I would say, as a wide receiver and as a playmaker in offense. So I do wonder about that dynamic, but for me, like, this is a guy that you design a passing game around. You draft him and you play him at wide receiver, and this is the guy you design your passing game around. It has to be. Because, again, we've talked about it, the Odell Beckham Jr. comp that Matt Harmon threw out that I really like, his ability to win at the catch point, plucky, fluid, explosive, manufactured touches, doesn't matter. You get the ball in his hands and he makes plays. He makes plays every level of the field. So you design a passing game around him and you feather him with targets.
And speaking of getting feathered with targets, Maryland Terrapins wide receiver is somebody who you were on before I was. I became a really big fan once I saw him. He reminds me, and I've said this multiple times now, and I always forget his name, but the Oregon wide receiver who everybody loved last year ended up going fourth round. He was a target magnet.
Troy Franklin.
He reminds me of what everybody thought or wanted to believe that Troy Franklin was, but Franklin was stiff. Ty Felton is not. Ty Felton could have been chosen for vertical explosiveness here as well, and we talked about that. But this young man had 143 targets for Maryland. There was another draftable receiver on that football team, and he is the one at a very lean build. And you've talked about the Darius Slayton comp.
Mm-hmm.
A very lean build, but really kind of skippy with the ball in his hands too. And so he made plays after the catch and he commanded those targets behind the line of scrimmage and in the passing game like that. So for me, he's a true three-level threat. For me, he is kind of what everybody talks about with Jaden Higgins. And it's not that I don't like Higgins, but I think when you talk about overall fluidity and explosiveness, I think Felton is going to have a better career, personally. I think he's a better player, personally. And again, that's nothing against Jaden Higgins. I just really, really think Ty Felton is being underrated in this draft class.
I do too. His like name has just like gone into the shadows. As the season has gone by, and it's not like the production hasn't been there. It's not like the testing numbers aren't there. So like I don't understand it.
When he played outside, it's not like they lined him up in the slot and just forced him targets. He played outside. I mean, you could watch him route guys up. He's
right. Ran a 4.38.
Yeah.
39.5-inch vertical, 10-10 broad. Like, he's checking boxes. Again, the play strength's not there. He's 183 pounds, but like,
yeah.
I like Ty Felton quite a bit. And if he finds a way to fall to early day three, somebody's going to get a Darius Slayton level player. And Darius Slayton has been one of the more consistent players throughout his career, despite always like his team, like head coaches are always like, ah, we're not going to give him targets. And they do. And he's really good. And then they go back to like not giving him targets. And when they
he ends
really
up, like, Darius Slayton has always been like wide receiver four on the depth chart. And then somebody gets hurt and he ends up getting 7, 8, 9 targets a game for like 3 or 4 games. And then he just disappears again.
But then he just keeps going back to the Giants.
Yeah,
he's re-signing with the Giants.
I know.
It's a really funny dynamic in NFL career that he's had. But I could see like a similar role, a similar player. Again, that's my comp for him is Darius Slayton for Ty Felton. So, I agree. Somebody's going to get a nice player in Ty Felton. All right. Well, that's it. We knocked that one out. We built our Frankenstein running backs. Wide receivers. We built our running backs yesterday. Wide receivers today. Yeah. So going back through that again, for catch radius, Dalton had Tet McMillan. For yak ability, he had Juice Wells. Vertical explosiveness, Jalen Noel. Fluidity and quickness, Travis Hunter. Route running, Emeka Egbuka. Play strength and size, Trey Harris. And target magnet, Ty Felton. Catch radius, I had Jaden Higgins. Yak ability, I had Luther Burden. Vertical explosiveness, I also had Jalen Noel. Fluidity and quickness, I went with Emeka Egbuka. Route running, I went with Matthew Golden. Play strength and size, Tet McMillan, and target magnet, Travis Hunter.
Tight ends next.
Going to be a lot of different names because we didn't have a whole lot of names to choose from the first time around because the tight end class hadn't really done a whole lot up to that
point. Yeah.
So
hadn't materialized yet.
No, it's kind of bell curved on us too. We got really into it and then it kind of dropped off again.
Well, we're going to have to, we're going to have to add fullback into there as well to add Harold Fannin Jr. as well. So.
Fair enough.
Slash fullback.
That's really funny. All right. Well, until next time, until we build tight ends tomorrow, this has been another episode of the Dapped on Draft podcast. Dalton, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
No. I just hope everybody has a nice day, a nice evening, listening to this in the car or watching it on YouTube. Remember, guys, I love you. Goodbye.